We're on a mission from God.
And now for something completely different. This is Pastor Jolly John Lekumsky, and we wish you all a blessed Christmas Advent season. I'm from St. Paul's Lutheran Church in New Athens, Illinois, and Trinity Lutheran Church in Darmstadt. And again, these are our special holiday family episodes. We have with us, do the introductions, would you please?
We have with us, go ahead and introduce yourselves.
Anna.
And Noah Clark.
Anna and Noah Clark, children of Pastor Matt Youngblood Clark.
Do you know
from
Matt?
Ascension
do you
Lutheran
know Matt?
Church. Yes. What?
I said, do you know Matt?
Yeah, you guys know me.
Yeah,
no,
I'm
saying.
My dad.
Yeah. No, what?
They're related to you?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. They just followed me in the studio.
But now we got to talk about some exciting things because, let's see, today's the 12th. So when is this actually taking place?
This is taking place a week from today. It is our live nativity scene at Ascension Lutheran. So we're excited about that. I'm excited about it. The congregation's excited. But we have two shepherds that are especially excited about the live nativity. Right, guys?
Yeah.
So Noah, come here, Noah, talk to me. So what exactly are you going to be doing for this live nativity?
Well, in front of Francis Park, there's going to be tons of animals and a stable and everything. And
no, wait a second. Like real live, not stuffed, real live animals?
Yeah, we're renting out animals to have there.
And you're going to be responsible for taking care of these animals? Is that right?
Well, kind of. I am a shepherd.
Did you explain to Noah what that involves? Do you know what you have to do as a shepherd taking care
There's
of animals, Noah?
Be poop.
That's exactly what I was thinking too, Anna.
You might need to clean up after
That's
these
animals. Right. And of course, as a shepherd.
Wanna.
So what do you know what animals are going to be there, Noah?
Oh, there's going to be goats and sheep and what else?
A calf, a baby calf, and the big one. What's the big one? What's going to be there, Anna?
Camel.
Say it again, Anna.
Camel.
A camel.
A real live camel.
Yep.
Yes.
And you haven't picked up poop until you picked up camel poop. So I'm glad you guys are the shepherds. Now you're wondering why your dad said, no, I don't want to be the shepherd.
Great job for you guys.
Oh, that's terrific.
It builds character, I'm sure.
That's, by the way, what a father says to you when you have to do something he doesn't want to do. It builds character. Well, that's exciting. So you guys excited about being shepherds?
You excited?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really excited. It's going to be a lot of fun.
And what other parts are there?
There's wise men, and there's also going to be an angel, Mary, and Joseph, and Dad's going to be a shepherd, too.
Is he?
I am going to be a shepherd. I don't know. Although Pastor John has kind of caused me to have second thoughts about that. I don't know. Maybe a wise man. That sounds kind of cushy.
I'm just thinking, the wise men or the angels, they're not going to be cleaning up after the animal. Well, now, kids, it's simple. Just say, I think this is a job for the chief shepherd, and then turn to your father.
we
probably should get started, but thanks for being with us again, guys. And blessing. That'll be fun.
Yeah. So stop on by if you're listening and you're in the St. Louis area. 5 to 9 p.m. That's Saturday before Christmas. So again, next week, December the 19th. It'll be a good time of hot chocolate and cookies and carolers, too, and the whole deal. And most importantly, with all this hubbub, we'll have Jesus there and, the one who came to be our Savior. And that's
so
the focus of it all.
Who's playing Jesus?
You know, no one in the congregation was kind enough to have a child right before our live nativity and rent out their kid for 4 hours. So anyway,
well, I'm sure there's a place you can rent babies if you can rent a camel.
Yeah, but you got to pick up after those two.
Oh, there you go.
So anyway, we have a fake one this year, but don't know. If we do it again next year, people have 12 months warning. So I'm hoping. I'm hopeful.
Get started now. And we're thinking about the birth pangs we talked about last week, which, by the way, I was thinking we really could have had your wife here when we had our discussion about the birth pangs. She probably knows more than we do.
No, firsthand, yeah.
So we're doing the end of the world. We're doing the end of the world. Or actually, Christ is going to be doing the end of the world at some point. But we're looking at the comforting words that he speaks to us about the end, although they haven't been too comforting so far.
I'm still waiting. Yeah, what's the deal? Earthquakes and famines and wars.
You had a big one, though, that none of this is going to stop the gospel from being proclaimed to all nations.
Yeah.
That's the program. That's the plan. He wants everybody to know that he loves them and that he saves them, as Anna witnessed to us last week, that we're all going to go to heaven. So none of this problem, earthquakes, famines, are going to stop that. In fact, you know, it's interesting. We talked about the destruction of the temple. That didn't stop the gospel from being proclaimed, though, did it? In fact, Darmstadt celebrated their 150th anniversary. And when I came there, there was this little, beautiful little brick church there. It's all gone. You can't find it. Would never know it was there. It's just a grassy field now. But we're still preaching the gospel there in Darmstadt. So that's the promise. And as long as we're talking about those promises, there's another promise that I thought that was interesting, too, in that particular section where he was talking about the persecutions and everything.
Yes.
He says, and when they bring you to trial and deliver you over, and by the way, that word deliver you over is the same word that's used of what they did to Jesus, what they will do to Jesus in the next few days. Judas, he'll be handed over, delivered over. But he goes on to say, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour, for it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit. So if we have trials and troubles, don't be anxious about it, because God will give us what words we need. The Holy Spirit will still be with us. So I think that's a comforting thought, particularly because I am all the time anxious beforehand.
Yeah.
I worry about all kinds of things that most don't even happen, but I'm still worried about them. But it's okay. God will still give me a spirit.
And just the certainty of all these things. I mean, there's on the one hand, the certainty that we will be handed over. He doesn't say you might be handed over. No, you will be for his name's sake, but with a purpose to bear witness before them. And as you pointed out, even in that time, he'll give us what to speak. It's a promise. It's a certain promise. And so we have no reason to be anxious.
And that's what we're saying. It's not about knowing certain things so that we can be ready and take care of this ourselves. It is knowing that we're in the Lord's hands, and in him, we will be taken care of, and he will take care of us. That's how we get through the end and all the things that lead up, the birth pangs that lead up to the end.
Yeah, I think of one example that comes to my mind from the Old Testament is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Meshach, and Abednego, don't you?
Yeah, you guys remember them?
Yeah.
So what does the king want them to do?
Want them to die in the fiery furnace.
And why? Because what wouldn't they do?
They wouldn't bow down to a golden statue, and I wouldn't bow down to one either.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. And so, but, you know, because of that, they were delivered over to this king, and he even was going to throw them in that fiery furnace. But I love that statement of faith before they get thrown in.
Yeah.
How we believe in the one God, and he can deliver us. But even if he doesn't,
He's still
God. So it's kind of a win-win for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in faith. And it's a win-win for us, too, that during the the end approaches, even if we are killed, if it gets to that point, it's a win-win where we go to be with the Lord. But here Jesus comforts us with that opportunity for witness, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had that opportunity to witness before kings.
And you know what was talking to me about that story too is, so the king looks in there and says, wait, didn't we throw three guys in there?
Yeah, wait a second. But,
I see four. Which, of course, is just a reminder of the same promise we just talked about, that even if we're anxious beforehand, you don't need to be, because God, the Spirit, Jesus, the Holy Trinity, they'll be with us in whatever we face too.
Yeah. So. And that's so important. I know a lot of people, at least over at Ascension where I serve, are worried about different world events right now. Things do look bad. I'm concerned myself. But, always go back to God's word. Go back to Jesus' words here. And I think these words about the end, about his return, are so important for us to hear during times of difficulty, because they're a reminder that in the end, Jesus is king, right? The victory is won through his dying, his rising already, but it is return. That total victory, that grand finale, the victory will be totally won. And it's a certain thing. It's a promise.
And with your permission, then let's jump to that. Let's jump over some of these verses and get to where that very statement you made is clearly proclaimed. If we could read then from Matthew 13, verse 24, I think, in my old age.
Okay, so Mark, 13, verse 24.
Yeah.
It says, and you will be hated by all
verse 24.
Oh, 24, okay.
Yeah,
but in those days after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken.
So if you think it's bad now, Matt, it's going to get worse.
Yeah.
That's right. Not just wars and rumors of wars and earthquake, but we're going to see the very world falling apart around us, the very sun and moon being darkened. Although, you remember the Venerable Bede, don't you? Remember the Venerable Bede?
How can I forget?
How do you get to be venerable?
I know, that's my question. How do you get that title? At what point do I get conferred with the title of venerable?
I don't know. But he was an early church bishop. And he took this poetically. He said, you know, the reason, it's not really that the sun and the moon will go out or that the stars will fall, but that the light of Christ will be so bright when he returns, that's the way it will seem. And I thought that was kind of a poetic way of looking at it, because Christ's light will be so bright in the face of our darkness that it'll seem like all these things will just have been put out. Well, read the next verse, because here's the comfort. All right, so yeah, there's going to be some cataclysms greater than what we've seen, but here's the comfort.
It goes on, Jesus says, and they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven.
All right, so what comforting things do you see in that verse, Matt?
Yeah, you know, no matter how severe things get here, we have this promise. We'll still be gathered.
I like that,
we'll
don't
still
you?
Be gathered.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No matter how bad things get, we'll still be gathered from the four winds, from the ends of the earth.
Yeah, and isn't that a neat, I love that emphasis. So no one's going to get left behind.
No.
You know, you're in the big city of St. Louis, so I imagine probably the angels will show up there. On the other hand, I'm in this little podunk town of New Athens, might even be in even a more podunk town called Darmstadt. The angels are going to find me there, too.
Yeah.
I will not be left behind. Yeah.
It's beautiful. And then from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven, and really kind of going back to that proclamation of the gospel, I think Jesus' ascension, where, you know, you'll proclaim the word in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And here's that same phrase that Jesus uses, to the ends of the earth. The gospel will be proclaimed, and because of that proclamation, people are going to be gathered to be with him from the ends of the earth.
And I like that, because it brings us back to the thought you shared last week about this is why the evil still goes on. You know, Anna raised that question, will there always be evil? Well, no, but there is now, because God's being patient, because this is the program that to the ends of the earth, like you say, the gospel will be proclaimed. He wants everybody to know about his love and his forgiveness, this light of Christ in Jesus. And so, yeah, it does mean that the rest of us here are going to have to struggle and have our crosses until such time as that is completed. But thanks for reminding us, Matt. It will be completed, and the angels will gather him from the ends of the earth. That's a nice thought. I appreciate that, Matt.
Yeah, and I just appreciate that God isn't just neutral or indifferent about the salvation of the world or about the gospel being proclaimed. No, it's his desire that all would be saved, would come to a knowledge of that truth, that it would be proclaimed to all nations.
Which, of course, is the problem. We just want him to save us and get it over with.
Yeah, you know, selfishly, sure. It's a whole lot easier
to
just worry
salvation.
About myself.
Yeah, of course, then God says, well, I can take care of that, too.
Yeah.
If you want me to save you now, I can take you home right away.
Right.
If you like. Oh, no, on the other hand, Lord, yeah, maybe we need to get the gospel out to all nations. So, you know, the other thing I love about it here is what we're referred to as the elect. And of course, elect is someone that someone else chooses. You don't get to choose yourself if you're elect, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Trump or Carson, whoever ends up getting, they don't choose themselves. No, someone else has to choose them. And that, of course, is the great comfort that we're going to be gathered together by those angels, because Jesus Christ has chosen us.
Yes.
He's chosen Anna. He's chosen Noah. Guys, do you know how you can know for sure that God has chosen you, that you are part of this elect we're talking about here?
What do you think? Any insights, kids? How do you know God's chosen you?
Because I've been baptized.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I good. Think that's a great answer.
That is the answer, I think. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. And how cool. And I had the privilege of baptizing you, Anna, as a pastor, which was very special. But, you know, whoever you're baptized by, that name of God placed on you, right? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the pastor usually calls the person who's baptized by name in that baptism. And just that reminder that, yes, we don't have to wonder whether we're part of the elect, whether God has chosen us or not. No, it's there. It's visible. It's in the water. It's in the word. It's a sure thing. It's a promise.
And even when you get old like me, I'm sorry, guys, I could be your grandparent. And you begin to wonder, well, does that baptism still apply? And then we go to the Lord's Supper, and Jesus says, of course it still applies. Here, take my body, take my blood for you, for the forgiveness of sins. Are you listening to Wrestling with the Basics, and you hear these beautiful promises of the Holy Scripture that, yeah, no, you're part of the elect, because my sheep hear my voice,
yeah.
Jesus says. Let's move on to another comforting passage here before we run out of time. How about let's jump to something that doesn't seem comforting, but okay. I would suggest really is verse 32,
okay,
I think
verse
it is. 32.
But concerning that day or that hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father.
You know, it was last week we had the disciples coming privately and saying, tell us what are the signs, when this is going to happen. And it dawned on me, Jesus could honestly say, I don't know. Sorry, I don't know.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, especially at this point in his humiliation, as, you know, here in his ministry, no, he doesn't know.
Yeah, he might know now.
He might know
we're,
now.
We're not saying.
He probably does, but at this point, no.
Yeah. And here's where I see that's comforting. Because I don't know, Anna, no, I don't know if you realize this. Do you realize that Jesus exists for you? Here he is. He's the Almighty Son of God. He's the one that actually created the whole world, everything you see around you, the entire universe, all the stars, all the planets. He made all that stuff. And yet Jesus exists just for you. Well, not just for you, but for all people. Because that's what he says. He says, I didn't come to be served. You don't need to do anything for me. He said, but I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. By the way, going back to the Son of Man business, that's what he actually says, isn't it? He says the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve.
Yeah.
And to give his life as a ransom for many, which again is why the end is going to be a good thing. It's the Son of Man. It's the guy that died for us. It's our friend. No greater love does a man have than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You guys moved, right? You moved out of Waterloo. Right. You ever see any of your friends from Waterloo anymore, or you never see them again?
Not that much.
Yeah, but if you saw them, would you be glad to see some of your old friends?
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's what the end of the world is. We're going to get to see our really, really good friend Jesus and really, really see him, not just hear him, but actually see him and hold him.
See him face to face. Oh, incredible. And those scars still that his body bears as evidence of that great love for us.
Oh. Anyway, I'm sorry. I got myself distracted. So here's the comforting thought. If we needed to know the day or the hour, Jesus would have known the day and the hour, and he would have told us the day and the hour. But we don't need to know that. That's not good for us. So Jesus, who is totally focused on what's good for us, he doesn't know it. Because we don't need to know it. Because honestly, Matt, if we knew the day or the hour, if we knew, for example, we were doing the Moabite prophecy in the Bible study earlier today.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And there they do know the day and the hour. Isaiah says of the Moabites, in 3 years, you're going to be wiped out. But I'm thinking if I knew that the end was going to come in 3 years, I would probably spend most of that time just doing whatever I wanted to do.
Eating bacon.
That's right. I got 2 years to do whatever I want. The third year, I can start being serious and get ready. Or again, actually, this is what I probably would do, as I probably would just worry about it. I would just say, I've only got 3 years. What am I going to do? I've only got 3 years. So yeah, it probably isn't good that we know the day or the hour, and so we don't.
I've often wondered about that too. Would it be a benefit to know the day and hour? And I agree. No, it wouldn't be a benefit. And now hopefully we have this, again, sense of urgency in sharing the gospel because we don't know the day and the hour. We want to be prepared ourselves, but we want others to be prepared too. Sometimes I think the temptation, since we don't know it, it just seems so distant. We forget about it. But again and again, Jesus states, be ready, be prepared.
Well, in that light, why don't you read the next few verses and then we'll wrap up with these verses? Because I think this is exactly, not that we don't trust your father, kids. But we always like it when what he says comes from the Bible.
Yes, yes.
So read
definitely.
The next thing.
Verse 33. Yeah. Be on guard, keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey when he leaves home and puts his servants in charge, each with his work. And he commands the doorkeeper to stay awake. Therefore, stay awake. For you do not know when the master of the house will come, in the evening or at midnight, or when the rooster crows, or in the morning, lest he come suddenly and find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to you all, stay awake.
And you know, I really like that business about it's like a master going away and he leaves the servants in charge.
Yeah.
So what you said is exactly right, Matt. We've got work to do. Yeah, the master's gone, but he's left us. He's given us the responsibilities. Of course, he's also given us the Holy Spirit, as he said earlier. So don't be anxious beforehand. It's not like, oh, I don't know, can we do this or not? No, of course you can do it. You've got God's word. You've got God's spirit. But I appreciate your emphasis because the end is coming. No, we need to take our responsibilities seriously. We need to get this word out. Not out of fear.
No,
but out of the joy and the promises that the gospel will be proclaimed to all nations. So any thoughts
so
you have about
just
that?
Don't
man?
Waste your time trying to figure out some formula of when the master is going to return, when Jesus is going to come back. Instead, use your time sharing the gospel. It's a privilege, it's a joy, and we want to celebrate with all God's people at Christ's return as we lift up our heads and know that our salvation is drawing near.
And that's the thing. Even if we knew the world was going to end tomorrow, we still got stuff we got to do today.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many people that focus on the end of the world to the ends that they don't do anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
You always get those guys that come out and prophesy the world's going to end in 30 days, and then all their followers just quit, and they go up on a mountain and wait for him to return.
Yeah.
Well, that's never to be the attitude. That would be like falling asleep, isn't it? What do you guys do? Tell me what you do when you fall asleep. All the good things you do when you fall asleep. What do you do?
I sleep and rest.
How about you, Noah? What good things are you doing when you're sleeping?
Not really anything.
Thank you. That was the answer we're looking for. So don't fall asleep, people. My goodness, stay awake. There's all kinds of good work we got to do, loving and caring for people. In fact, you guys are going to do some good things. You're going to be the shepherds there for the big live nativity.
Yeah,
What's the time on that again, man?
Yeah, 5 to 9 on the December the 19th. And, you know, as I think about the live nativity, and no one knew the day of Christ's first coming either, his first advent.
Yeah.
And I think it's that same as similar admonition to be prepared, through the Old Testament scriptures, the word of the prophets, to be prepared for that Messiah who's coming to the world. And just as the shepherds were witnesses of that first Christmas and left rejoicing and proclaiming, and I hope that's what people do after seeing this live nativity. They leave rejoicing, you know, and that this child's for them, and that they would go proclaiming and sharing that good news with others too.
And, you know, I'll make this final point because this jogged my mind what you were saying there. See, nobody was scared when the baby came, were they? Like you say, the shepherds came, they were excited. The wise men came, and they were happy. And by the way, the wise men brought the camels. They should be responsible for cleaning up after them.
Ooh, that's a good point. I like that. Let me write that down.
But anyway, yeah. So that was all. It's the same guy that's coming back. It's not somebody different. It's the same one who came. In fact, we know really now how much he does love us because he was willing to suffer and die and rise again for our sakes.
Yeah, I think that's great. You know, he came the first time to suffer, to die, but to rise. He comes a second time in glory, but both times he's coming out of love to be our Savior.
And he's coming to rise us up too. Gather us together. All the angels. No place is going to be left.
So. Yeah, from the ends of the earth.
Well, blessings to you. We got our special Christmas episode. Don't miss it next Saturday, our big special annual Christmas episode.
Awesome.
And another special family member here.
Oh, I can't wait.